turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Amen. Revelation chapter 3 as we move forward. This lesson is probably split in two, but we're coming to the end of the Sardesian church age as we just kind of bring in just a few more types here on the book of life. Here in verse 1, Revelation 3 says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, and these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." And again, the angel to this church is Luther, Martin Luther. Verse 2 says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll just go for it here. Just picking up on some of what we've already discussed. Just trying to, again, just keep us, when we're looking at this, we're talking about not blotting out the name out of the book of life. Brother Branham made a statement here, and he's referring this to verse 5 here in Revelation 3, 5, where it says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels." It says the possibility of the removal of a name from the records of God deserves more than a casual study, because there are kind of like two schools of thought. The Arminians have a view, and then Calvinistics, those that follow Calvinist teachings, they had a view on this. You know, but Brother Branham's saying you just can't, you know, look at it from those two angles. It took a little bit more digging in to kind of find out a little bit more about the book of life. And says, "So the possibility of the removal of a name from the records of God deserves more than a casual study. For up until now, most students have merely drawn a conclusion that God places the names of those born again within the Lamb's book of life at the time of their rebirth." Another quote that we read previously in the Church Age book, "And non-seed, there's nothing to quicken," right? So it wasn't that God was writing the name, you know, when you were born again. No, the reason that you were born again is because your name had to already be there before the foundation of the world. It says, if for any reason that the name must be removed, the space on the record will simply be a blank as it was before a name had been placed there. This is 100% opposite to what the word actually teaches. So we've been going through that, and we'll continue to go through that tonight. Remember, he said this in the Church Age book, "Let it be known that there's not one scripture that teaches that God is presently compiling a record of names. This was all done before the foundation of the world." God is not presently compiling a record of names. We talked about four different groups that are in the book of life, or that pertains to the book of life, I would say. One, their names cannot be removed under any circumstances. That would be considered the bride. The other is names that were on the record before the foundation world, but their names were removed. And these are people like Judas. You know, we talked about how he was there with the disciples casting out devils. And Jesus told him, say, don't rejoice because the devils are subject to you, but rejoice because your name is written. So if Judas was standing right there listening to Jesus say that, then his name was actually on the book of life. The issue is that later on when he betrayed Jesus, that's when his name was removed. And the thing of it is there are many today that are betraying the word of God, and they have to be very careful because their names could easily be removed. Also, he said there were multitudes who were not even born again will go into eternal life. They're not even the bride, but they'll get eternal life. It'll come at the second resurrection, but because they did something nice to the brethren, they will receive eternal life. And also there's a group whose names were never even on the book of life, and there are scriptures that actually tell us that. All right, let's go further here. This is what we read last week, and just again clarifying these four groups. First of all, we know most assuredly that the purpose of God stands in election. It was purpose in himself. It was God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto himself. That would be a word bride. She was chosen before the foundation of the world in him. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. She was redeemed by his blood and can never come into condemnation. She can never be in the judgment because sin cannot be imputed unto her. Romans chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. But indeed, she shall be with him in his throne of judgment, judging the world and even angels." Her name, each of her members, was written in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And I'm claiming that we're all in that particular group. This is a group that will come up in the second resurrection. And it says their names also are also in the book of life, and they will come up in the second resurrection. Such are the foolish virgins and the righteous, as are spoken of in Matthew 25. In this class also are those who do not worship the beast or become involved in the Antichrist system, but die for their faith, even though they are not in the bride, not having been born again. But they will come up in the second resurrection and go into eternal life. I want to we talked about these individuals, read just through our reading. Nicodemus would fall in this group, souls under the altar, based on Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. Gamaliel, and also the foolish virgins of Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. Modern day example that I want to give you of somebody that I feel could easily fit within a category like this. I remember years ago when we were attending Brother West Coast Church, and while there, he had made he testified about something that happened. One day, Sister Cobb was at work, and she was just writing her bills. And as she was doing her bills, she had a coworker that was just kind of watching her, you know, kind of write out the bills. And she noticed that Sister Cobb would write her tithe check. And the coworker began to ask, you know, what was that all about? So Sister Cobb began to explain to her, you know, what it was all about. And the coworker decided from the testimony that Sister Cobb gave her what tithing was all about, that coworker decided that she would also write a tithe check and send it by Sister Cobb to the church. And that lady probably stepped into church a handful of times, more for weddings and things of that nature. But as far as attending the church, never actually attended the church. But I believe that a person like that, you think about all the other people that might have walked right by her desk and saw her doing the same thing, never even stopped to even ask. But this lady, until the day she went home, she was writing the tithe check, you know, sending it to the church. And I think somebody like that, those are the kind of people that we're talking about, have no idea that they were being nice to God's bride, had no idea of what she was doing, but God will remember a person like that, right? And when you're standing there in judgment, that's a person that you'll remember as well, right? So that's a modern example of how sometimes people can be, you know, just be doing some really, really good things for the bride and not realize, you know, that that's something that they're doing. So I believe God will remember that. Next is this other group. Brother Branham said, thirdly, the borderline Christians, their names will be removed. And he said, such as we saw in Israel coming out of Egypt. These had their names in the book of life and their works written in the books. These having failed to obey God and being void of the Spirit, though even the signs and wonders were amongst them, will have their names removed from the book of life. And this group would include people like Judas, Balaam, the tribes of Dan and Ephraim, the Israelites who worship the golden calf, and according to Exodus 32, verse 30 through 34. the Israelites who rejected Christ, you know, at his first coming. Psalm 69, 11 through 28 talks about blotting out their names. And also he said the majority of the Gentile church will also come into condemnation with the result of removal of their names from the book of life by rejecting the word and thereby entering into the world ecumenical movement, which is the image erected unto the beast. Amen. And people are again rejecting God's word today, and that's something that we want to be ever so careful of, ever so careful of. I especially feel sorry for people that come out and start denouncing, you know, Brother Branham. My question to anybody that's going to denounce him as being the messenger, if you're going to take him away, you have to give somebody back. And if you don't have anybody to replace him with, I'm sorry. I'll never be able to fall for that. I'll never go for it, right? And I think that puts people on really, really dangerous ground, because it's not necessarily based on what man says, but God himself vindicated the ministry multiple times. And, you know, even with the teaching that we're doing right now, the seven church ages, at the end of him teaching it the first time in 1960, the angel Lord went to the back of the building and began to write all the ages on the back wall of the church. So if the teachings were wrong, I just don't see God vindicating it like that. That's not happening in too many churches. That's not happening after too many people preach, you know. But when you see things like that, I think God is trying to tell us that, hey, I'm with this, and I support this 100%. So I pray for those that are in that position, because I think Satan is just tricking them, you know. And I know that God could anoint them to be able to see. That's what Jesus said. He came to give recovery of sight to the blind. And that means people that used to be able to see it, Jesus said they'll see it again, because he gives recovery of sight to the blind. All right. Last, this group here was what we call the reprobates. It says, fourth are the ones whose names have never been or will ever be written on the books. Such are found in Revelation 13:8 and Revelation 17:8, where it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And also the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So we see scripture plainly says that there's a group that their names were not written in the book of life. Brother Branham says this. He says, I'm not saying that there's no record of them. No doubt there's some kind of a record of them, but not in the records of life. Their purpose of existence has been dealt with slightly in the rest of this book. And that's what we're going to kind of hit tonight. The purpose of their existence that's being dealt, we want to deal with that tonight. So if their names were not written in God's records of life, yes, they, you know, I mean, they got a birth certificate and all that, so you can prove that they were born. But as far as being a part of God's records of life or his book of life, they were not a part of that. Names were not written there. All right. Some key statements that we got from our reading. It says it is at the resurrection that the royal seed will see many royal seeds like unto himself, and they will be even as he is. What a promise. We're being made into his image even right now. He also said this. He was talking about, he referred to scripture in Matthew 3, and I think we'll get that a little bit later on, 6 through 12, where Jesus would gather the wheat into the garner. All right, and Jesus is only looking for the wheat. That's all he's going to gather. And actually, that's a scripture that John the Baptist was referring to, that he would gather wheat into the garner, or garner would be the barn. All right. The next statement that I saw was the church corporate through the ages has been the carrier of the true seed, though not the seed itself. Very, very important statement. I pray we'll be able to bring that out a little bit later. The church corporate through the ages has been the carrier of the true seed, though not the seed itself. If I could just take a little moment, all of us sit around, most of us, my age up, we all, none of us were really born into this message. Our kids, grandkids maybe have been born in, but I know I wasn't born in. We came from a Baptist background. We also had Pentecostal background. Some in this church have come from Methodist. Some have come from Catholic. All walks of life. There in those denominational churches, that's where we first learned about Christ, or we learned about the Bible. We learned a few things going to Sunday school, so on and so forth. And that was all of that was good. But yet, in the midst of all of what we had, we all knew within ourselves there was something more, that we were missing something, right? And once we finally come to this truth, right, that's when we realize, hey, this is it. And we're not going back to that, because what we got here far surpasses all of that, especially when it comes to the revelation of the word, especially when it comes to that. I mean, sometimes maybe, the choirs might be better. Sometimes the worship may be better. But when it comes to the word and people living the word, I haven't found anything that even compares. Right. But the thing of it is that I think over time we've come into the message and then we begin to put down or criticize where we come from. I don't think that's right. I think we ought to be grateful of where we come from, right? And just understand that if you just go back in your mind and think about all the people that are still there in those churches that you come out of, just realize it wasn't nothing but God's grace that led you out to this. Nothing but God's grace. He could have chose anybody else in there, but he happened to choose you, right? But the other thing is that for you to get to where you are today, you had to go through some stuff there to push you out to here. And that was all part of the process, right? So when we talk about the church corporate through the ages has been the carrier of the true seed, you might not realize, but while you were there, they were carrying you. They were strengthening you. They were helping you. They help you see what you want and what you don't want, right? But that whole process was necessary in order to get you to where you are today. The whole process was necessary. Even when it comes to this message, and I could be 100% honest and say our first introduction to the message, some of the things that we were taught, when you really went back and looked at it according to what Brother Branham said, it didn't line up. But yet we were, we were there. We were on fire. We gave our money to it, our support, we did everything. But when I look back at it now, I was like, no, not all that went right. According to what I've seen in this message, all that went right, And what I've come to do is not denounce not denounce all of it, because there's some parts of it that, I still admire. The church order that I saw, you couldn't beat it. Some of the worship that you saw, I mean, it was really, really good, but the revelation was not right. So you come to realize that you don't have to denounce everything, even your denominational experiences. You don't have to denounce it all. It was all part of the process. It's all part of the process. The church corporate through the ages has been the carrier of the true seed, though not the seed itself. Even for me to get to the point to say what I just said, I think about all the other people that probably hear me say this, and man, Brother Jack, you blind. You just don't see it all. And I'm thinking, man, y'all just don't see it all, right? But when you just think about the journey that God has brought you through and brought you, just allowed you to be on, you realize that all of it was necessary to get you to be the person that you are today in Christ. Okay. Another scripture that he quoted in our reading was 1 John 3:2. Now are we the sons of God. Does not yet appear, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be just like him, but we'll see him as he is. Love that. And also he made this statement, the history or the record of this wheat plant is the book of life, which a part of the book of life is the record of eternal life, a section of the book of life. Again, the history or record of this wheat plant is the book of life. And if I could just use that, those that are following online won't be able to see this, but this is just a little wheat that I got. And he's saying the history or record of this wheat plant is the book of life. Or the history or the record of it is the book of life, which a part of the book of life is the record of eternal life, a section. In order for wheat to be produced, it had to go through this whole process. First, there had to be a blade, some grass. Then it had to have this little stalk, you know, this part right here. And then these little things right here had to be the tassel. And then this right here, underneath, inside the tassel would be the chaff or shaff, right, or shuck. But the wheat seed actually lives on the inside of the shaff. So in order for wheat to come to full maturity, it had to go through this whole process. And this represents your denominational experience. This whole thing represents. And you had to go through that to get there. You had to. There was no other way around it. Your experience in the world, and you line it up. It was the whole process. Wheat, in order to be wheat, you had to go through all of that, right? And that's what we've come to. We've come back to wheat seed again. The seed has been reproduced again. Praise the Lord. All right. Brother Branham said this in another scripture, Romans 9, verse 4 through 8, all Israel is not Israel. And we'll get into that hopefully a little bit. Actually, we'll pick up some of these scriptures here. And also the last thing that I want to bring in is the ecumenical move will bind the tear churches together, for the tares must be bound first. And though their end is burning, they are not burned at the binding, but are reserved to a later date. Let's pick up some of these scriptures here. Let's go to Matthew 3. This is John the Baptist, verse 6. Actually, I think that should be verse 8. Bring forth fruit. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our fathers, for I say unto you that God is able these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he would thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, which is the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. All right, let's go on and find Romans 9. Pick up some of these scriptures here. Talk about all Israel is not Israel. Paul says here, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law, and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God have taken none effect, but they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. So just because you were born in the lineage doesn't mean that you are predestinated. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So, you know, what we're trying to get here is that just because, a Jew was born a Jew doesn't mean that they were predestinated. Some of them were actually, they actually missed out. You know, their names were removed, And if that could happen to Jews, same thing will happen to Gentiles. Okay. Okay, so Brother Branham say we want to liken the church through the ages to the wheat plant. And this is where he brings in to understand the subject even more clearly. It will now be wise to approach it from the standpoint of the church through the ages. Up until now, we've been thinking in terms of the removal of the names of individuals. Now we want to consider not the individuals, but the groups represented in the church. To do so, we will liken the church through the ages to the wheat plant. All right, and that's what I was just kind of showing you all with this wheat plant here. All right, so now then, the record of this wheat plant whose end is to reproduce the original seed and multiply form is the book of life. I repeat, the history or record of this wheat plant is the book of life, of which a part of the book of life is the record of life, a section of the book of life. So just, again, trying to show that this, you got your stalk here, then you got your tassels here. And then you got this part is a shaft or the shuck, and the seed lays in there. But then underneath all that is the blade, the grass, which it all comes out of. All that's necessary in order to bring forth wheat. All that's necessary. But the only part that's really important in there is where the seed is. Amen.